Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers for the harvesting. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The dominion of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the dominion of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. Whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated, and if the children would come forward. Christy, you can bring Elizabeth if you like. I'm putting the pressure on you. I've got an ulterior motive. Oh, yes, and Alex. Welcome, everyone. Now, last week, Haven and Avery said, "You know, you got to have a children's sermon every Sunday." Now, there's two reasons. I used to say, when there's no Sunday school, we'll have a children's sermon. But they also said, "We want to bring Esme up." And I'm so delighted we could bring Elizabeth and Alex. And Chloe will come another time, right? So, Haven, can you say, what's so much fun about bringing Esme up, or Elizabeth, or Alex? Why do we like that so much? What? She's adorable. Aren't they all? Aren't they all? And, well, you know, she reminds me, and he reminds me, and Elizabeth reminds me of someone else who came up as a baby. Of course, we all did. But when we think of the church and of our faith, who came as a child to start off with? I'll give you a hint. Christmas? Who came at Christmas as a baby? Mom knows, yeah. Right. Jesus came. And so I love to see the children come forward because they remind us that Christ came to us as a child and bringing peace and love and care. And as you bring your children, we know that we love them and we want to take care of them because they dance. We're going to have some liturgical dance pretty soon, too, aren't we? So you got a child here. So today, I want to remember in a little bit, like Christmas in July, and our children have come forward to remind us that Christ came as a child and calls for us to care for one another. And throughout the story of Jesus coming, he often, that one particular time, he set children on his knee and says, you know, I accept you all as children. So God in Christ Jesus loves everyone like we all love these three children, and that we were loved as we were growing up. So that's why I like to see the children come forward. They remind us of the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you all. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Esme. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. Put it there, kiddo. Yeah. I like a lad who gives five. That's it. So a number of years ago, quite a few actually, maybe a few folks that might remember this, we actually had a service. It was a center celebration in July, and we called it Christmas in July. It was a great time. I'm reminded of that center celebration service because of the gospel lesson that we read and encountered this day. I think it would be a great lesson for Christmas in July because as the children were reminding us and teaching us, Jesus came as a child of peace. And that's really emphasized in our lesson today. Jesus sends out the 70 on a program of peace. Speak peace to the houses that you enter. You remember at Christmas, the angels sing with the coming of the child. Peace on earth, goodwill to all is announced. And also at Christmas, we remember and repeat a line that's at least as good as the Isaiah passage that we read today, which was a great one. But you remember it, to us a child is born, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and he will be called the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end, the prophet says. So by sending the 70 in today's lesson, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is acting with the government on his shoulder. A new kind of government, a new rule and realm of God. Jesus sends envoys, emissaries throughout the world, all places where he intended to go. He sends out 70. It's kind of a mysterious number. Nobody knows for sure what that 70 meant, although in the Old Testament there is a citation of listing 70, actually 72 nations that represented all the nations of the world at that time. But whatever the purpose, I think, or whatever the reference, 70 is a number of completion. It's a number of fullness to all the places that Jesus would visit. And that means all places. All cities, all ages, all hearts, ours. A plentiful harvest. And did you notice that these 70, they're not disciples. They are others who are commissioned for the task. And so as we read, as we gather, as we listen with others across the ages, are we not all part of the 70, the others sent ahead to speak peace to the houses, to the people that we find? The mission of the 70 and ours is to announce peace. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. Whatever person you meet, encounter them with God's peace, with an openness of heart of God's love. For in peace, the dominion of God has come near. The Prince of Peace has come near. Where the dominion of God is, there the presence of the Prince of Peace is. And we're those who trust the Prince of Peace, who share in faith, who share his person and his message. There will be healing, There will be community, eating and drinking. There will be welcome. There will be peace. So I want us to remember that in the context of this lesson, especially in the writing of St. Luke, who really has a focus toward the universe at large, not just Israel, but the Hellenistic and Roman rule. And in the context of this lesson, what is the ruling government? It was the Roman Empire. They also claimed peace. That was their proclamation. Their savior was Caesar Augustus. His venue, his domain, also was the world. You remember how the very story of the Gospel of Luke starts, or the story of the birth of the child? Caesar Augustus announced that all the world should be enrolled. We want to get everybody's name. We want to get their taxes. We want to know who they are and exert authority over them. And who were Caesar's envoys? They were basically the legions, the soldiers of Rome. Rome's peace came after violence and victory. But Jesus is announcing a new enrollment, a new rule. Names in a new book, the Book of Life. A peace that is shared through welcome, acceptance, healing, eating together, sharing the peace, if you will, which we will do, which is Esme's favorite thing. And Jesus' mission, you'll notice, is nonviolent. Carry no purse, no bag, but certainly carry no weapons. No legion of soldiers are sent out. And if there is rejection, well, shake the dust off your feet, but don't seek revenge or retaliation. Remember last week, when Jesus was rejected in the Samaritan city, the disciples wanted to rain down fire and brimstone, and Jesus said, that's not the way our rule works. For those who refuse peace, they're already consumed by their fear and lost in that way. So by what authority, or by what power does Jesus send us all out and announce that the dominion of God has come near? By what power, if not by force or threat, or even by the assertion of majesty? St. Paul's letter to Galatia guides us here, where he says, "May I never boast of anything except the cross of Christ." By his actions and words, Jesus refuses to use force or violence, and he always stands with victims of destructive powers, the outcast, the lost, the captive, the sick, the sinners. I've said this often enough, but I'll keep saying it. The most vivid example in our time is Jesus standing with immigrants, because our government suggests that good order, peace, and prosperity comes through violence against a demonized group. Order, it is order, but a perverted kind of peace comes by violence and exclusion, scapegoating the other. For a violent peace to stand as a government, a rule, there must always be a victim, an enemy. So violence against immigrants is the centerpiece of our current rule, our current narrative. And it is believed like gospel. Our history has been haunted with such treatment, particularly against African Americans. The history of lynching reveals the violent dynamic at its worst. On this weekend of national celebration and remembrance, we need to recall that the true, the life-giving narrative of our country, the true hope that it can offer the world, is that we are a land of immigrants, a nation of welcome. And when we do that, we too will watch Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. For Satan is actually no real creature. It only exists by the power we give to violence and lies. But Jesus did not meet his opponents with violence or with retaliation. The Christmas story always turns into Easter, the crucifixion and resurrection. For on the cross, Jesus stands with victims and reveals the demonic reality of peace by violence, the deep sin of the world in opposition to God's will. On the cross, Jesus forgives us all who have victimized others, often even in the name of God. One of Luther's great insights, I believe, is that he sees that we all have been both, sometimes victims, but often ourselves victimizers. We have not always been children of peace. But in forgiveness, reconciliation, in the promise of new life, in resurrection, we all have peace within ourselves, amongst others, and with God. And so, in this way, we too are sent to speak peace to all whom we encounter, to offer peace especially with those whom we oppose or in struggling with, to set aside violence. And in doing so, we too will see Satan fall like lightning. So, sisters and brothers, Merry Christmas in July. And Christ is risen. Risen indeed. And may God make us all instruments of God's peace. Amen.